With our Bibles open to Matthew 21, let's go once again to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless our time as we study His Word and ask Him to encourage us in the days that we're living. Pray with me, please. Father, we thank You so much that You never change, that You are the same yesterday, today, and You'll be the same tomorrow. And God, for Your church, I pray that You would just fill us with Your Holy Spirit, that You would bring peace into our hearts, that You're still on Your throne and You're still in control. We pray, God, that You would just use Your church to bring hope into this world, especially in a world that's so different than it was a few months ago. Everything's turned on its head. Everything is different. We're doing everything in our lives differently. We're not able to connect with people that we love as much. We're not able to do the things that we normally do on a day-to-day basis any longer. And those things that we can do, we're doing a little bit differently. Lord, as we go through life and see different people wearing gloves and masks, Lord, it's just a different makeup. But I pray that our faith and our trust are in You, that we would trust You for this time, that we would trust You in this season for whatever's going on. And Lord, before any of this happened, we had things going on in our lives that we were asking You to help us with. And now we're adding this on as well. But Lord, I just pray that we would, again, sit at Your feet this morning, receive a word from You, an encouraging word that will encourage us to remain faithful in these days. Lord, Your word is very clear. It is required in servants to be faithful. And so I pray that we would be faithful to the very end. Help us, God, spread the good news. Help us to share the message of Jesus Christ with a world around us in different ways, perhaps, than we have before. But Lord, let Your Spirit continue to do what Your Spirit can do, and that is transform us and change us. We don't want to stay the same way we were this morning. We want to be transformed. And so speak to us through Your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as we look at Matthew chapter 21, I've entitled this morning's message, Trusting in His Plan. Very timely message, I believe, as we look at this this opportunity, this Palm Sunday, as Jesus would enter into Jerusalem on the donkey, and people would cry out, Hosanna in the highest. As we remember this, we want to remember that we're going to trust in His plan. Whatever that plan is, I still believe God has a plan. Do you believe God still has a plan? Do you believe God is still in control of this world, of this universe, of His creation? I would hope we would all be saying, absolutely, yes, we believe that. Even in the midst of scary times, even in the midst of things that are totally different, God's still in control, and we can continue to trust in Him. Yes, today is Palm Sunday. It's a Sunday before Resurrection Sunday. And it's a reminder to all of us that during this time, palm branches were placed at Jesus' feet as He came in on the donkey. His arrest on Holy Thursday and His crucifixion on Good Friday are coming this week. Those are things that we must remember this entire week as we look at it in the Scriptures, remembering what Jesus has done so many years ago, but has set into motion His plan, set into motion His purposes. And so we must trust Him. This event marked the beginning, again, as I've said, the Holy Week. It's a moment in time, I believe, where we must take some time and do some soul searching. This is normally what we would do during this time of year, is to search our hearts and ask ourselves, do we trust in Jesus completely? Do we trust Him when things are going well? Do we trust Him when things are a little bit more difficult? Trusting Him at every opportunity. See, the palm branch, interestingly enough, symbolizes goodness and symbolizes victory. That's why they were laying them at Jesus' feet. It's the goodness of our Lord in spite of our sin. He's so good to us. It's the victory that He gave to us as He died on that cross for our sins. And through that sacrifice, He gave us life. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9 says this, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude with which no one could number, of all the nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands." We see it in Revelation, as we stand, as believers stand before Jesus, and they're worshiping him, and they're in white clothes. He's clothed us with that righteousness, and we have palm branches in our hands. That's what we're going to be doing in heaven, and that's what we celebrate here this morning, that we would worship him, as he's a good God, and he has given us that victory already. In Matthew's gospel, we're going to see Jesus refer to a scripture in Zechariah. And I want to read it up front so that we have it in our minds. It says this in Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Zechariah prophesied in advance that these are the things that were going to happen when the Messiah would come. And I don't know about you, but I read this scripture, and right off the bat it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem." This is a time that we're living in right now that we need to be lifting our voices in praise and in worship. This is a time when we need to be shouting at the top of our lungs how good our God is. Shouting, and I believe that's what Jesus was hearing as he was entering into Jerusalem. The people were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." This morning, we were blessed by some amazing worship. But I want to challenge all of us, though we're separate and doing this all in our own homes, maybe in our bedrooms, or maybe in our living rooms on the TV, or maybe on our back porch on our laptops, I pray that you're not just watching worship, that you're participating in worship. It's during these times of this difficulty, I believe, that's worship that's going to help carry us through. I am so thrilled and blessed when I see our worship team literally worshiping. Not just going through the motions of worship, but truly worshiping. During practice, they laugh with each other and they joke with each other, and there's just such joy in worship. And I encourage us, when we're doing church differently, to continue to participate. Yes, it's probably weird if you're the only one in your room watching a TV or watching a laptop to be singing out loud. But that's what we need to be doing. That's what we need to be doing as Christians. And if we can't do it in the privacy of our own homes, what chance do we have of doing it in the world that we live in? To truly be worshiping. And I wrote that down. During this time, worship and praise are so important. To encourage one another to remain in an attitude of worship. And even in Zechariah, I don't know if it's still up there, but it says, "Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation." Having salvation. The salvation that Jesus brings to his children, the salvation he brings to believers, to Christians. I don't know about you, but we're living in times where we need to be saved. We're living in times where we need Jesus to come into our lives and save us and protect us. Our prayer this morning was, "Lord, help us to not get the virus. Help lives not to be lost." That's the prayer. Salvation comes through Jesus. And coronavirus or not, Jesus is going to save me. No matter what happens in my life, I'm confident of the salvation that I have through Jesus Christ. Do you have that assurance? Do you have that confidence that because what Jesus did, salvation belongs to you? That's hope, my friends. That's hope that God gives to us. On this Palm Sunday, Jesus was riding into the capital city of Jerusalem as a conquering king, and hailed by his people. Hailed by him. He deserves the worship and praise of his people because he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. He's my king. He's my Lord. Is he yours? Is he yours? Abby, is he your king? He is. Blake, he's your king. Pastor Trent, he's your king. He doesn't know what I'm saying. He's the king. He's our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Salvation comes to us through Jesus. But I can't give you that confidence. You got to receive that confidence through Jesus. through the assurance of what he has given to you. So we're going to look at three things quickly as we look at Matthew chapter 21, as we're, again, this mindset of trusting in his plan. Read with me in verse 1. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled by which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Prophet Zechariah, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. As we're talking this morning about trusting in God's plan, trusting in his plan, because he still has a plan, amen? Still has a plan. And his plan's a lot better than our plan, isn't it? His plan's a lot better than our government's plan. I mean, they're scrambling. They're trying to figure out what to do. And everybody's pointing fingers at everybody. But God has a plan. And I'm watching his plan unfold. I hope you are too. The first thing I see here is when it comes to trusting in his plan, we have been sent into the world. His children, as believers, we have been sent into this world to make a difference. And that's no different now. And in fact, I believe it's even more important now than ever before, that we would go into the world and be his representatives and be proclaimers of the good news of Jesus, the good news that he has a plan and he's in control. And we all have been sent. That's what I love about this simple, the first couple verses. Jesus asked two of his disciples to go and retrieve this donkey and a colt, a simple request with specific instructions. Don't we love it when God gives us specific instructions? Don't we love it when he lays out the plan? Well, he did it for these guys. You know, and we might look into this and say, wow, this is an amazing thing. Jesus tells them to go do this, and they find it just like Jesus says. But the thing I want us to focus on this morning is that we are sent. We are sanctified. We are set apart. We are different than the world, and we are sent out into the world to proclaim this message of hope. And I find that in my life, I get more hopeful and more encouraged when I am able to encourage someone else. When I'm able to sit with someone and pray with someone and encourage them in some way, I feel the presence of God and I feel so encouraged. I would imagine it's the same for you. That when you're able to talk to somebody, whether it's on the phone or through text or face-to-face, to be able to just minister to someone because they're hurting, because they're going through something. We're sent ones. What has Jesus asked you to do recently? How is he speaking to you? How is his word changing you and encouraging you? I know God's always speaking, and he's always showing us to how to do things. This happened to me this week. There was a gentleman that came to the property this week that serviced the propane tank that we had there. And he took me around, showed me how the propane tank worked, and we walked around the property and looking for things that used propane because he wanted to know how many things we had, like stoves and furnaces and water heaters and those types of things. And I felt the presence of God in our conversations. As we were talking, I could tell he was a believer. And he shared a bit of a intimate thing with me about he was standing for his marriage. He was struggling. He was standing for his marriage, believing that God was going to work. And I just felt the Spirit come over me and just say, pray with this man. And I got to tell you, it was one of the most anointed opportunities for he and I to stop and to pray together. I said to him, I said, do you mind if I pray for you? Do you mind if we spend some time in prayer? He was like, absolutely. And we just prayed. And that you could feel the presence of God. And I feel like God purposed for me to be there that day, purposed for him to be there at that moment so that he could be encouraged. Guys, being sent doesn't mean you hear specific instructions. Being sent means you're available to God. Are you available to be used by God. Yes, we want people to encourage us. Yes, we want people to pray for us. Yes, we want people to help us. We want God to be on our side. But I feel it when we're helping others because we've been sent, that we too become encouraged. It was so encouraging to me to be able to pray with this man. And after the end of our prayer, he looked at me and said, God told me to tell you, and he gave me a scripture reference, Romans 11:29. He said, go read Romans 11:29. And I see someone's turning to Romans 11:29 as I speak. But it speaks of your call and your election are irrevocable. And it was a word that spoke into my heart in that moment. Because my God's word is always speaking. And I just love the fact that I was obedient to pray with this man, and this man was obedient to share what God showed him, and we were both encouraged. I was able to text him after he left and just let him know how that verse just so ministered to me. It's a great reminder that God is still at work, even in the difficulties that we're in, that we're all sent to do something. And look at here in verse 3. I love that. I've always loved this. That says, Jesus says to the disciples, if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. I've always been amazed at this, that Jesus already foretold. Jesus knows everything. He's God. He knows the past and the future. He knows the present. He says, listen, if anybody questions you, just say to them, the Lord has need of them. Guys, I think it's amazing that God needs you, that God needs me, that God needs his people to represent him properly. I'm glad he doesn't depend on us because we fail oftentimes, but he does need us. He needs you to be the parent that he's called you to be. He needs you to be the son or the daughter that he's called you to be. He needs you to be whatever your occupation is, whether it's in the medical field or in education, or maybe you're in a police officer or a firefighter. God needs you to be the light of the world for him in that place. And right now, maybe you're working from home. That's where God needs you. He needs you to be light in your home, ministering to your family, ministering to your loved ones. And if you're the only one there, ministering to yourself, finding ways to reach out to people. We're certainly seeing new ways to reach out to people in the days that we're living in where we're all having to stay home. There's ways to reach other people. God needs you, and he needs me. And he will use us. And he will get his will done. That's the thing about Jesus. That's the thing about God. He knew all of this was happening. He knew everything that was going to happen before it happened. That's why he could tell these guys, you're going to go find a donkey and a colt, and if anybody asks you, just tell them the Lord has need of it. He knew all these things beforehand. He knows our future. He knows our tomorrows. So let's be confident in the fact that he's in control. I also remind myself this week that God knew the coronavirus was going to come. He knew it. He knew it before anybody knew it. And there's a lot of people that said, oh, for years I've been telling there's a pandemic coming. But God knew it at the foundations of the world. He knew that this was going to happen in a time just as this. And that brings me hope that God knew it was coming and he's going to take care of us. He knew. Listen, we may be uncertain. We may be unsure. All these things, all the statistics, all the facts and figures of how many people have the coronavirus and how many deaths have happened in all these different countries. And we're trying to figure out when the peak thing's going to happen and then it's going to find. We're guessing. God knows exactly when it's going to peak. God knows exactly when it's going to plateau. He knows exactly when this thing's going to be passed. We might be uncertain, but he is not. He is in control. Never forget that. Never forget that. You know, our dear sister Suzelle in Haiti, as the coronavirus begins to enter into that country, she's standing tall. She's standing proud. She is continuing to serve that community. She is teaching that community how to wash their hands and how to be careful in these times. She is on the front lines. Listen, she could easily get on an airplane and come back to the United States and maybe feel a little bit safer. But the fact is, she says, no, I'm going to stay right where I'm at, because if I leave, they will never trust me again. Maybe you're in a situation where you'd like to get out of it. Maybe you're in a circumstance where you'd like to be removed from it. Maybe you've filed for unemployment. Maybe you've lost your job and you wish God would get you out of that. Stay the course. See what God's doing. Trusting in him. You know, if you need to reach out and ask for help, get some help. There's things out there that are going to be able to help people through this time. Take advantage of those things. But our hope and our trust has to be in God, that we would have that strong testimony that we talked about last week. And then he quotes this scripture in verse 5, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you. Boy, did that minister to me. Do you know Jesus is coming back? Do you know that Jesus is coming? He's come as Messiah, as we're reading. He's entered into Jerusalem. The Messiah did come once. He did come to bring salvation to the world. He did die on the cross for our sins and the sins of the world. So he did come, but he is coming again. And he's going to rule and he's going to reign. And we are his bride. We are those that are putting our faith and trust in him. Do you want Jesus to come back? I sure do. I want him to come back. But I believe he's also here with us now. He's coming into our hearts. He's coming into our lives. He's coming into our circumstances on a day-to-day basis. Not only is he coming, he is here with us. Do you know that the people in Jerusalem at this time were under Roman rule? They were under a lot of persecution. They were living in difficult times. And so, just like us, we're living in difficult times. But don't forget, you've been sent into this world for a plan, for a purpose. You've been sent in this world to fulfill a purpose on this world. Fulfill that purpose to the best of your ability as you continue to submit to him. That's the first thing. But the second thing is, we are to obey his wishes immediately. Look at verse 6. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Boy, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? A wonderful label on every believer's life? That we went and did just as Jesus commanded them. I want to be that obedient. I want to be that assured of obedience. We are to obey his wishes immediately. Immediately. Verse 7. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches, those palm branches, from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. We are to obey his wishes immediately. These guys didn't delay. They didn't question why Jesus would say that. They didn't complain, oh, we got to go get a donkey for Jesus, what we want to stay here with. No, they just did it. Immediate obedience, direct obedience. I think it's a quality of believers. It should be direct obedience. Listen, when Jesus asked you to do something, when God asked you to do something, yeah, it's a little unnerving. Yeah, it's a little unsure. Is it going to work out all right? But these guys trusted in Christ. They trusted in their Lord. They saw the faithfulness of Jesus as he lived on this earth. And I've seen Jesus be faithful in my life. And I'm sure you've seen Jesus be faithful in your life. Obedience must be immediate. And that's what I love about this. They love about it. Their immediate obedience is something to admire. Doing as Jesus says is something that we should strive to accomplish and encourage each other to do. You know, when I hear someone come to me and say, they feel like the Lord is telling them to do such and such, I find it a privilege to try and encourage that as much as I can. Because I know there's a lot of people out there that will get discouraged or be discouraging to a call on someone's life. But we need to encourage one another in these times. We need to encourage each other to listen to the Lord and be obedient to what he says. Maybe there's even things that God has said to you in the past and you've just kind of set them aside. maybe I'll get to that later. This morning, God wants you to know that promise is still there. That call, that directive is still there, and God wants you to fulfill it. I don't know what it is, but he does, and perhaps you do. And maybe you're being reminded of it this morning. Don't fear. Don't wonder what's going to happen. Let God wonder. Let God worry about that. You just walk by faith and step out and do what God calls you to do. Now, I want to draw your attention to something. This word Hosanna, it's an important word. It means to save now, And so, you know, as Jesus is coming in, it's the promised Messiah foretold of in the Old Testament, the king that would be coming. And for those in Jerusalem at that time under Roman rule, they're thinking, this is the time that the king, the Messiah, is going to get us out from underneath the Roman rule. Clearly, they were seeing this presence or this coming of the Messiah in a different light, certainly to save them from what they were, you know, up under in those days, the difficult times that they were experiencing. So when they were saying Hosanna, they're saying, get us out of this place. Save us from this wicked ruler. Save us from being under this bondage. See, we say Hosanna today in an act of worship. Hosanna in the highest. When I say that, I just feel like worshiping. I feel like lifting my hand. Hosanna in the highest. He is high and lifted up. And he has saved now for those who believe. Saved us from our sins, right? Saved us from our wrongs. Saved you from your mistakes. It's removed sin from our lives and continually removes sin from our lives. So when we say Hosanna, we're saying, save us, Lord. Listen, I want to talk a little bit about raising our voices for God, lifting our voices to heaven. Have you ever been in an argument? I'm sure we all have. Maybe you argue with your spouse. What is it about arguing? You tend to raise your voice, right? You want to be heard. You want the person to know this is how you feel. You're passionate about it. You know, when your favorite team makes a touchdown, we lift our voices. Do we lift our voices to God? Are we that kind of edit? Hosanna. I mean, I would imagine as Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, the crowds, it had to be an amazing sound. And it's a reminder to me that I gotta proclaim the name of God more often. I've got to lift up his voice. I've got to shout it. That passion that is in us for the Lord, is it coming out of us? Do people know that that is who we are? That our hope and our confidence is in God? That's what God calls us to be. You know, they said Hosanna in the highest this week, but we know in a week from now they're going to say crucify him. Their attitude changed within a very short period of time. And we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful that not one moment we're praising his name and the next minute we're wondering if he's still there. We have to be very careful that we are so fickle. If we don't get what we want when we want it, do we lose hope? Do we lose that confidence and that love for God? Listen, I believe that if we ask according to his will, we will receive what we've asked. I believe that with all my heart. But if we begin to start asking for ourselves, if we begin to start asking for things that we want and we don't get them, we get discouraged. I see why they would turn and say, crucify him. He didn't save us from this. He didn't do what we wanted him to do. Man, we have to be very careful that we aren't asking God to do things just for ourselves. That we're really all about hitting his will be done instead of ours. We need to realize that Jesus Christ came to die for our sins and to deliver us from sin by hanging on that cross. And if Jesus never does another thing for you or for me, he's already done so much. He's already done more than enough. If Jesus never does another thing for me, I'm satisfied. If he doesn't answer necessarily another prayer of mine, as long as I'm getting saved, as long as I'm able to enter into the throne room, as long as I'm able to enter into heaven when I die and leave this earth, it's more than enough. That's enough for me to praise him and to worship him. We've got to be very careful. And, you know, I agree with some people that think this coronavirus, God allowed it to keep us in check. If this doesn't keep us in check, I mean, how often do you know people getting excited when they find toilet paper or paper towel at the store? Right? Bit of a change, right? It's a little bit of an attitude adjustment here. It's like, I found toilet paper. I think God's using this as an opportunity for to have a check. Have a check. Make sure you're putting priorities in order. Make sure what really matters is what matters. I'm loving the fact that on social media, we're seeing more pictures of interactions with people and with families than anything else. I love that. And I really do pray and hope that after this all passes, that we can come back together as a group of believers and praise God and learn the lesson. I pray that we don't come back to what it used to be before all this happened. When we're all too busy, when we all don't have time for each other, that we would truly just go, we learned the lesson. We don't like to be caught up in our homes 24/7, but it sure was nice to spend time with family and with loved ones. Man, I hope we learn the lesson. And I hope we embrace the lesson. Look at this also in verse 10. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Who is this? Who is this man riding on a donkey coming into Jerusalem? Now, there's no doubt in my mind that people in that area had heard about Jesus. They heard about his miracles. They heard about what he had done. I'm sure there was no doubt that they had heard about this man that was walking around that was healing the blind and raising the dead and curing the sick. But here comes a man riding on a donkey. Again, that was a symbol of a victory coming into, the king coming into victory. And they're like, who is this? Who is this? Do you know Jesus well? Can you recognize his voice? Can you recognize his ways? Do you understand when he does something in your life? I know without a shadow of a doubt that when I was able to pray for that man on the property this week, that Jesus was right there with us. I knew what this was. I knew that this was a divine appointment that God had preordained for me to fulfill and for him to encourage me. Do you know him so well that you can recognize who he is? I want to put this verse up here, Luke 19. It's very similar account of this same story we're reading in Matthew. But notice what it says here. It says, now as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it. Verse 42 says, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. As Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on the donkey, foretold by Daniel, 70 weeks of Daniel, the time that he would approach, the very day he was showing up. And here Jesus is saying in Luke's gospel, he's saying, number one, it breaks my heart that people don't know who I am, that people aren't lined up for this entrance, that they're missing it. It's hidden from them because they're thinking a king to overthrow Rome instead of a savior to overcome sin. They didn't know who he was. They didn't recognize him. He didn't come the way they thought he would come. And my question to all of us, do we know the Lord so well that we're so sensitive to his Holy Spirit that when he tells us not to say anything that we stay quiet, and when he tells us to say something that we speak up, and when he tells us to go somewhere that we move, and when he tells us to stay put and wait that we become patient? Do you know him that well? Do you know him that intimately? Listen, we're to obey his wishes immediately, and that means listening to his voice, knowing who he is. He is our Lord. He is our master, and he's our friend. He loves us. He will never ask you to do anything that will harm you or hurt you, and so you can trust in him. Do you know him so well that you know his love? That you know his promises? I mean, the promises of Jesus. The promises that God has given to us in his word. Do you know them? Do you embrace them? Those are the things that are going to help us to endure through these times. As we focus on him and his promises and not on what's going on around us. We must know his will. The last thing, as we look at these next few verses, verses 12 through 17, it says, then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. So after Jesus enters into Jerusalem, after he weeps over the city, he comes in and immediately goes into the temple. And what he sees is disgraceful to him. Listen, we have been sent into this world. We are to obey his wishes. And finally, we have been forever changed. We have been forever changed because we accept him for who he is. We want to honor him. We want to do what's right in the house of God. His house shall be called a house of prayer. We have been changed into people that pray to God through Jesus Christ, knowing that we're being heard. And when Jesus came in and saw that there's his father's house that had become a marketplace, it broke his heart. It broke his heart. Now listen, this started out as a good thing. People from all over, from days of travel, would come from all over the place to come to Jerusalem to worship during this time. So there were thousands of people coming. And rather than having to bring an animal and travel so many miles with this animal and care for this animal on the journey, they could get to Jerusalem with money and purchase an animal for sacrifice. It started out to be a good thing. It became a money-making institution. And that's what broke Jesus' heart. This was all set up in the part of the temple that was called the Gentiles' temple, Gentiles' court. It was a place for the Gentiles to come in and to pray. It was a place for those that were outside the Jewish religion to come in and to pray to God. But because they had set up shop, because there was now a marketplace there, there was so much commotion and there was so much busyness going on in there that who's going to be able to pray? Who's going to be able to stop and just spend quiet time with the Lord when all of this stuff is going on? This is what broke Jesus' heart. That we make sure that we live our lives in such a way that we draw people to God so that they can have a relationship and a connection with him. That our lives aren't so noisy and so loud that people don't even want to come near us. It's important. It's important to set the stage for people to come openly. Someone had said to me a couple weeks ago, hey, do you mind if I listen in on your service on Sunday? And I'm like, wow, it still amazes me that people think it's invite only to God's house. No. Service. God's house is open to all. God's house shall be a house of prayer. And the importance that Jesus puts on his Father's house, that it should be called a house of prayer, that churches in this world would be known as places where people could come and pray. Not pay, pray. People focus on church as if it's a money-making institution, and it should be a place where we come and get prayed for and to be able to pray over other people. God's house shall be called a house of prayer. Your house, where you're sitting right now, is right now God's house. And your house should be a house of prayer. Your house should be a place where you pray with your family. Where people who come and visit you at a distance can find you a person of prayer. I think it's a great reminder to all of us that when Jesus saw the temple and the things that were going on there, he said, no, all of this needs to be removed so that my house can be a house of prayer. Let's never forget that. Verse 14. Right after he does that, this is amazing to me. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Look at this. They were indignant. They were angry. And said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read?" Talk about conviction. "Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise." Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. Now, give me your attention. Immediately after Jesus cleansed the temple, immediately after he gets all those who exchanged and did their wares and did their exchanges there, he gets everybody out. Notice what he does immediately after. He goes back to being the Messiah. He goes back to being God. He goes back to being compassionate on those who are hurting. Immediate, I love that. He healed them. The blind and the lame came to him. After he ran them all out, those that knew him for who he was came to him to be healed. Guys, we've been forever changed because Jesus has changed us. Jesus dwells in us. The Holy Spirit is in you. And we are forever changed. We're different people. And so if you have need in your life, which I know you do, it's your time to go to him to heal you. Go to him for him to put his hand upon your life and to encourage you during this time. I challenge all of us that in the midst of this crazy world that we're living in, to find where God is showing up in your life. To notice where God is bringing peace in areas of your life where you didn't have peace before. To find areas in your life where you're still a little uncertain that God is going to show you how you can trust him in that area. Maybe I'm sure it's for a lot of us, finances. Finances are being changed radically in a lot of our homes. And it's that time where our finances are changed radically where we're going to see God, I believe, show up magnificently, miraculously. Watch it. Watch for those things. And don't have this attitude. I mean, we read us here on the news, oh, yeah, the financial thing after all, the economy after all of this is going to be disaster. I believe God will protect his kids. I believe he's going to get us through. And we're going to see that we can live on less. That we can still put our faith and trust in the Lord when things aren't as good as they perhaps used to be. His house shall be called a house of prayer. His house shall be a place where people can come and be healed. If you have a prayer request, if you have a need that you want to put before the Lord, okay, we see it here, and the blind and lame came to him in the temple. I encourage you, send the church an email. I mean, maybe you're streaming right now. If you want to put up a comment, hopefully someone will grab that prayer request and be able to pray for you right then and there. But we want to pray for you. We want God to heal your situations. We want God to heal your heart. We want God to encourage you and lift you up in whatever it is you're going through. We are here to help each other. We're to be Christ in the days that we're living because he's in us. Let us be what God wants us to be. He changes us so that we can help others. That's the beautiful thing about being a believer. Because you begin to think less or worry less about yourself and you begin to be more mindful of other people. As we've been talking about over these last few weeks, to be able to help one another. To be able to help one another. And I want to read it again, but in verse 15, this just, man, talk about hard hearts. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did. Think about that for a minute. The wonderful things that Jesus did. When they saw him healing people, when they saw him being gracious, when they saw him coming in lowly as a donkey representing the Messiah, they didn't rejoice like everybody else in town. No, they were angry. They were indignant. And listen, for anyone to call themselves the son of David, if they were not the son of David, was blasphemy. Basically calling yourself God. And they were indignant because Jesus was calling himself God. Never once did it enter their minds that maybe he was God. Maybe he was God. Thank God he's changed us for our eyes to be open to know that he is God and the wonderful things that he continues to do. What wonderful, maybe that's something that we can all do, is remember what God has done in our lives that have been wonderful. To focus in on the things that God is doing in our lives that are wonderful. Wonderful things happen in our lives. I wrote this down in my notes. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. Be thankful for your spouse. Be thankful for your friends. Be thankful for your children. Be thankful for your parents. Find something to be thankful for. Because there, I believe there's always things in this world to be thankful for. And that's what God wants us to be. But no, they were angry. And they said to him, don't you see these kids making all this noise? Thinking that he would try to quiet them down. And Jesus goes, yeah, I hear them. And man, it was music to his ears. It's music to God's ears when his kids sing praises to his name. So as I invite the worship team to come on back up, I want us all to have our hearts prepared to truly worship him, to enter into this time and this place of worship. And to not have this maybe hesitation because it's different because you're in your home. Maybe your dog's barking and maybe there's a doorbell ringing. But try to keep those distractions away and just worship the Lord. Truly engage in this last song and worship him. Again, Hosanna, save us. Hosanna, save us. Save us from this time. Be a person that is praying and seeking the Lord during this pandemic. What do they call it? Pandemic. During this pandemic, be a person of prayer. Be a person that's believing that God is going to get us through this. Do all the things that they're telling us. Be smart. Be wise. I know that the temptation to look at it all and say, oh, it's being blown out of proportion. But better to be blown out of proportion and be safe than to overlook it and put yourself in harm's way. Let us be spirit-led. Let God be guiding us and directing us, trusting in his plan, because his plan is unfolding and his will is going to get done no matter what. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for how loving and caring you are to us. Thank you that you never change, that you're still the same God you were a month and a half, 2 months ago. You're still in control. You're still allowing and stopping things from happening. God, it's my belief that this could have been a whole lot worse than it is. But because of your grace, you're holding it back. God, I pray for all of us that we would rise up as believers and show that faith and that trust in you and be able to share that hope and confidence with our families, with our coworkers, with our friends, with anyone, people we run into in the grocery stores. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. We're so thankful, Jesus, that you came and you died for us. We're so thankful that you entered in and fulfilled prophecy, fulfilled your word. And we are trusting you are still fulfilling your word today. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To you be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.